And a report outlines that some Australians have been skipping meals and calls for National Cabinet to intervene on Alice Springs crime. Hello, I'm Harrison Peterson with the latest from NIRS News. Sacrificing meals has become the norm for some Australians struggling to pay for their weekly essentials. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission has surveyed over 13,000 households as part of their inquiry into supermarket price gouging. The watchdog says the lower income households are spending up to a quarter of their total income on groceries. They're also skipping meals or sacrificing meals to feed children properly. Mariam Scrimgeour, the federal member for Lingiari, which covers the majority of the Northern Territory, including Alice Springs, has called on the government to convene a national cabinet on youth crime. Her calls come after a two-week youth crime lockdown was imposed on Alice Springs following a series of violent incidents. Ms. Scrimgeour has told the ABC this unrest has been a catalyst for the youth curfew.
Look, government had to do something. It was, you can't just keep saying things are under control and yet you've got this, you know, young people running through the streets and doing the destruction.
She, however, emphasised that an intervention-style approach like the 2006 NT intervention into child sexual abuse, which was later found to have been racially underpinned, is not the solution. And Melbourne's Lord Mayor will step down after 6 years in the role. Sally Capp was first elected Mayor of the City of Melbourne in 2018, before being re-elected in 2020. She's expected to finish up at the end of June and has told the ABC that she'll work with councillors and the Chief Executive on a transition plan.
It's important for me that I'm open and create as much certainty as I can. It's been much conjecture. I've decided not to contest the local government elections later this year. I absolutely love being the Lord Mayor of Melbourne. It's been a tumultuous and tremendous 6 years. The trajectory now is so positive and I think it's the right time for me to go.
There's more after this.
The Evergreen program, run by the ATO, is for Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander people. Over 12 months, you'll receive a competitive salary while building your professional skills in a supportive team. Once complete, you'll earn a certificate for and a permanent job at the next level with a higher salary. Applications close April 15th. Make big things happen in your career by visiting ato.gov.au/evergreen.
Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Program sponsor.
The Australian Council of Trade Unions has welcomed the government's Net Zero Economies Bill, which passed Parliament yesterday. Under the legislation, workers in emissions-heavy industries will be supported in accessing a new job and upskilling for further employment. Union President Michelle O'Neill says the inclusion of training, which does not sacrifice time or pay, is essential to assist workers in the transition to lower emissions industries.
Workers who work in emissions-intensive industries now, like coal-fired power stations, are highly skilled workers. But yes, there should be the capacity to learn new skills and to have training to make sure they can move into jobs that are the jobs of the future that are going to be coming into these regions and communities.
The bodies of two people have been recovered from the waters where the Baltimore Bridge collapsed. Divers say the two victims, both construction workers, were found trapped within a vehicle. Ronald L. Butler from Maryland State Police say it was a tragic discovery.
Shortly before 10 a.m., divers located a red pickup truck submerged in approximately 25 feet of water in the area of the middle span of the bridge. Divers recovered two victims of this tragedy trapped within the vehicle.
The search for four more people presumed dead continues. The bridge was struck by a cargo ship on Tuesday, causing the bridge to plunge into the port. And the UN says almost one-fifth of all the produce available on the global market is wasted by households. The Food Waste Index report is the second on global food waste compiled by the UN. Every day in 2022, households worldwide threw away 1 billion meals. Food loss and waste generated 8 to 10% of global greenhouse emissions. If it were a country, it would rank third after China and the United States. And that's the latest from NIRS News.
Have you heard?
Medicines just got cheaper for a lot of ongoing health conditions. Some medicines on the PBS can now be prescribed for 60 days at once, giving you twice the medication on a single prescription.
Which saves me money and trips to town.
Have a yarn to your doctor or health worker to see if a 60-day prescription is right for you, or visit health.gov.au/cheaper medicines. Authorised by the Australian Government, Canberra.
Station sponsor.
What do you want to do for the rest of your life?
I'm 17. I don't know that. Ask me what I want to do next. Practical courses with flexible choices. To start a diploma and start earning faster. And maybe move on to a uni degree.
Help them do what feels right for right now. At TAFE Queensland. Applications now open. RTO 0275 PRV 13003.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your Delhi program, National Talk Black, and come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that Delhi number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the beautiful country of ours, welcome back. National Talk Black, have your saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, teaching Indigenous children their traditional language could be the key to greater education outcomes. Indigenous children could have much greater educational outcomes if Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander groups are more closely involved. First Nation elders, senior leaders and representatives will present co-design strategy at Parliament House in Canberra. Their report calls for an Indigenous-led system to improve educational employment and health outcomes, ensuring students don't fall behind. With that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Jane Vadaloo, CEO of the Indigenous organisation Children's Ground. On the line, we have Jane. Jane, good morning, Jane. Oh, Jane's not there. We'll try and get Jane on the line and have a yarn with her. Let me just try again with Jane and try again. Jane, you there? Good morning, Jane. Hello.
Yes.
I got you. How are you, Jane?
I'm very well. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Where are you based, Jane?
At the moment, I'm in Melbourne.
Melbourne. All right. Fantastic. And before we start, let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, Jane?
Run Children's Ground, but I'm not First Nations. But
we'll claim you, sister. Fans. We'll claim you. You're working in a very, very important space here.
Yeah.
And so we're talking about...
Go
ahead, Jane.
No, I just want to recognise all the amazing leaders of Children's Ground. So, you know, starting from Arnie Joy, Wurundjeri leader here down in Naam, and all the Arrernte leaders and elders in Central Australia, and Larrakia Mob in Darwin and Bob Mob out in West Arnhem.
Good. Well, while you're talking about that, Children's Ground, shed some light. Who's Children's Ground and what do you do there, Jane?
No, Children's Ground is a First Nations organisation and set up by elders over, who, you know, as we all know, worked their lives and over the last 50 years putting reform and strategies to government that aren't listened to. And then I guess about 15 odd years ago, William Chilmouth, who's our chair, Arrernte man, said we need to sort of put together in a whole of system what our families and elders have been, you know, speaking to. And so ours is a 25-year systems change agenda. We've sort of stepped outside of the mainstream and we're centering First Nations culture, language, governance. And we, in whole of community, so run through the governance of the land. And then we centre education, health, employment, culture, and community.
So it's a bit of a shake-up of education practices, which was probably needed,
Completely.
Yes?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know, as William would say, it's a shake-up, but it's over 65,000 years old. And as you all know, First Nations systems of knowledge and practice are the most evolved in the world and certainly leading practice in education, early childhood, health in just about any area, if you think about, the foundations and the principles. Mm. But certainly in education, we just released this report called the M.K. Turner Report, and she was one of our leading elders and founders, a phenomenal mind and strategist and visionary. And it's really about centering that oldest education system in the world and allowing kids the right to enter and come through life in that, but within a global context.
Well, when you look at the oldest culture in the world and the oldest system regarding education, and then you look at the new one here we have today, 21st century, the curriculum is not for everybody, is it not?
It's not for everybody. Mm. And what it's done is also denied the values and strength of First Nations principles and practice. So
yes,
we're sort of flipping the dial a bit. We're centering all of those, you know. So if you ever look at education around the world and what people consider to be leading practice, all of that is within the way First Nations education systems have always run.
Yes.
So we're centering that, and we're making sure that our kids come into a place that honours them and values them and understands them, and where their voice and their culture is at the heart. And then all the Western stuff, all the global stuff, that's all taught. You know, you can teach English, you can teach maths, you can teach everything else, but you have to centre culture and identity.
And we're talking about a cultural curriculum. We're talking about a cultural centrepiece, so to speak, coming from the culture, from the heart, and empowers our young ones.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, we're watching our little ones come into these environments, and they're run by their families, and it's our first cultural educators from the ground. They don't necessarily have to have a Western piece of paper. We know every family knows the cultural educators in their communities, and so we're so excited to watch it, and we see it in the kids and their joy and their love of learning, you know.
So a presentation, co-design strategy at Parliament House, that has already happened or about to happen?
Yeah, so, you know, we worked on that report with the old girl for about 4 years, and, you know, it's about 50 years of work for her, but she was incredible, and then she helped to articulate the centrepiece, which is what we call in Arunda Marangella, which is from the land, but that great, you know, the whole integrated piece of family, kinship, law, land, elders, ancestors, traditionalized, all of that, and all of the pieces of knowledge, a lived knowledge system and worldview into this centrepiece from which we then grow our curriculum. And we also about 5 years ago started a national network of first cultural educators. So we have anybody that considers themselves to be a first cultural educator can come and be part of this network. It's inclusive. We did this report, and then the families took it to government, took it to Parliament last month. And the key recommendation is the establishment of a First Nations education system in Australia held in the hands of First Nations people.
Yes. How was it received, Jane?
It was fantastic, actually. The actual event was great. We had parliamentarians from all walks of government. We had the minister there, but we had opposition members there. We had crossbenchers there. We had the Teals. We had independents. It was really, really well, you know, the people came. But we also then had conversations with the department who want to open up conversations around what this might look like, so we're pretty excited.
Fantastic. Watch this space. And beginning's half done, and look, it's setting the foundation, and the traditional languages are being used. You're running with it now anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, so in a sense we're modelling it, you know.
Exactly.
We're doing our best, you know. It's so fantastic to see languages being used and languages being revitalised. And, you know, the old girl was worried about her language, her first language.
Mm.
There's only two of these old people speaking it.
Yeah.
And now we've got the whole school in one of the remote communities now.
I've got goosebumps.
It's wonderful. Yeah, it's really wonderful.
Look, beautiful story. Look, congratulations. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks.
Jane, keep in touch. And big shout out to everybody there, Children's Ground across the country. And we'll yarn soon, Jane.
How wonderful. Thank you. Take care, everyone.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Adela Yande, Jane Vadaloo, her name is, a CEO of the Indigenous organisation called Children's Ground, and teach Indigenous children their traditional language. It could be the key to greater education outcomes. As I said, the education system we got here in the 21st century and has been here for a long, long time. But things don't change if things don't change. And it's not the be-all, end-all. And, it's not the only way that kids can learn. But if we're talking First Nation, we're talking traditional language, that could be the tool for foundation of education. And education is the key, no matter what shape or form. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416.
On TV I saw a story of the Brisbane Blacks, a story that is touching, a story that is right. In the story, a group of people sitting in a park, drinking in harmony, drinking until dark. You wonder why they're like that. Those so-called drunken blacks, they know that they've done no wrong, but the pressure from society is strong. Every day, each passing day, our culture slowly dies, like a piece of paper thrown onto a fire. Now all we've got is ancient weapons, now is our only trade, compared to all the immigrants. Look how much we've made. You look down through your noses to see the black man groveling down at your feet, with weary eyes looking up at you, waiting for the message to get through. Not in a bed, but in some warm surroundings, in a park or in a shed, warmed only by the grog that's been drunk through the day, warmed only by the grog, the killer of his mates. The very first Australians around, the very first people to be down. And why we fight is to be recognized, only to be felled by your blind eyes. Yeah.
Malboy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
Yeah, Akai Brothers, T.I. here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up a yarn with Tony Gibbs. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate.
Good.
How are you going? We're all sweating on the elections here, right?
Yeah, still. They're still counting, apparently. So it takes about 10, 12 days to count. I don't know, a bit slow process, I reckon.
Oh, it's not slow. It really smells badly, eh, mate? It's just terrible.
It is. We are in the 21st century, and I don't know. There's probably got to be a better system, I think.
Yeah, because there's nothing on the TV news or other stations. It's just
crickets.
Been two weeks now in Cairns, eh? And that's
exactly.
It's just, I don't know what the problem is there.
It will come in time, no matter what time. But we've got the state elections coming up in August. I hope it don't count for the locals at that time. They should get it done by then.
Yeah. The last time I talked to you, I think the phone cut out.
Yeah.
And I was reading a little newspaper clipping.
That's
and
right.
I didn't finish it. I wonder if I could finish it.
Yeah, go ahead. And what was the topic, Tony?
It was called Sweet Deal. It was about the deal that the mayor at the time made for Division 1 councillor Muller out here. But I interrupted halfway through. I just want to read it.
That came from the Cairns Post, did it?
I think it was the Cairns Post. And I've only got it's the 27th of the 3rd. I don't know if that was 22 or 21 or 22.
Okay.
But if I can just read this, mate, it's really important.
All right, go ahead.
Because life's going to go on anyway. Mayor Bob Manning, he's gone now, this week revealed an unexpected decision for someone who prides himself on steering the city in the direction he wants. He announced his appointment to a committee looking at the viability of the Mulgrave Mill, which would make him conflicted for any matters relating to the sugar industry that come before the council. The new gig will rule him out of voting on any development of sugar farming land within the mill's catchment, including major subdivisions in Mount Peter and elsewhere in the city. I have trouble cutting grass, let alone understanding sugarcane. But they have put together a group of people and there will be a report made over some time, he said. You will probably hear something about that. This will mean that I will be conflicted in all issues dealing with the sugar industry and council. So I make that out front now so that it's no surprise to you that it does make it into the papers for some reason. Councillor Manning did not respond to questions over whether the position was paid and why he would take a job that made him unable to participate in discussions about the city's expansions. And it's all about, to us, giving Division 1 councillor control over the waterway out here, and the Cairns Council's got no say because they've given him free rein, you know.
Giving him control, so to speak.
Yeah, it's just giving, you know, they amalgamated the council, and then it's giving the whole thing back to, we're just worried about the future of the Mulgrave River, that's all, and taking water out of it, and it's not going to Cairns, it's going to, I can't even remember. I'm just in a real tangle, and that and the cemetery, but I didn't finish that before.
Sure.
But there's something real smelly going on with the whole lot, and it just seems, you know, they haven't counted it, but maybe there's a big internal struggle going on. It ends up corrupted, you know. We don't know. It's unreal what's going on.
Well, I want to know what the tactics are to make a statement and put yourself in that predicament. What's the agenda is what I'm asking, or we need to find out if that's the case.
Yeah, we need to find out what and where the water from the Mulgrave River is going. We don't want it to go. We want it stopped. Mm. And I've heard there might be pipes being built. I don't know what's going on. It's all secret business, and the cane farms are,
The word that comes to mind is transparency. And decisions that are made, of course, from the council, the constituents have got to know. And they've got to be in the conversation, of course.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be an amalgamated council, which, I don't know, that stinks anyway. And I read there's something that's really bad, but I can't find anybody, you know, at the Mulgrave then. I don't know, mate. I'll call back another day. I'm just really...
All good, brother.
I'm still having a really bad time with what they did with the cemetery, you know, to take the crosses out here. And
of course.
It's really, really just messing me up, mate, big time.
The fact that you're talking to me, you're having a yarn, you're getting it off your chest, look, there's a bit of medicine here, brother. So thank you for your call, Tony.
Yeah, we just want to see who's in charge. Good luck to you too, Drew.
Thanks, brother. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tony Gibbs, a local man from Gordonvale, and always in the fight in regard to Green Patch, a beautiful area out there, Mulgrave River. And what he's talking about there is we've got Coplow Dam, which is the water the water system for Cairns to get its water. But when we're talking about expansion and population, what have you, we need another water place where we can get water. And Mulgrave Road is mentioned. It's not really confirmed. And that's where it is, but we are having that conversation at the table in regarding council. We need to talk about and communicate with the constituents. Have you say, Jan Armstrong, I did the conversation here, National Talk Black, and deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. And look at a new track here from Bala Pete's, Kalaku, Man featuring DC, On My Way. Have a listen, you mob, too deadly. That daily track there, On My Way, that's Kalku Mown, and that's DC, and On My Way, daily track, and big shout out to Bala Pete's. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying, Yana Strong, daily number here, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and coming to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Now, Can for Cancer pedals towards $20 million raised for cancer research. We all know someone who has been impacted by cancer, whether it had been a family member, friend, colleague, or even ourselves. With data showing there are over 1 million people in Australia who are either currently living with or have lived with cancer. over the past decade, CommBank's Can for Cancer has raised close to $17 million for Two to Cure, funding 145 cancer projects, which have achieved 32 cancer breakthroughs. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Nathan Barker, Head of Community Investment, Commonwealth Bank, on the line. Nathan, good morning. How are you?
Well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good, Nathan. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you based, Nathan?
I'm down in Sydney, mate.
Down in Sydney. All right. Fantastic. So, look, fantastic. Can for Cancer pedals towards $20 million raised for cancer research. Look, we're all in this together, are we not, Nathan?
Absolutely. We're all in. Unfortunately, cancer doesn't discriminate, so yeah, it doesn't matter who you are, but we've all got a chance. We've got to do what we can to try and stop it.
All right, fantastic. So talking about some good dollars here, raised money raised. Tell us about the when did this all start with Can for Cancer and Commonwealth Bank at the table?
Yeah, so 10 years ago, actually, we had a group of cyclists who wanted to get together and go out for a three-day bike ride and raise some money for cancer research. Mm. And after that, a few more people wanted to get involved. They did a few more rides, and then we introduced some 21-kilometre walks and 50-kilometre runs, and we've really, over those last 10 years, grown to have last year 7,500 people participating in an event to raise some money for cancer research.
Fantastic. And why will current Can for Cancer program expand this year?
So this year we're hoping to add in some new events. We're going to add an additional run in Melbourne, the 50-kilometre run for those guys down there, and a swim in Sydney, and also make sure every of the state capital cities has a walk to try and get us more people involved to raise more money for cancer research.
Good, good. And Nathan, how does this initiative support Aussies?
We all know that somebody in our family or our friends who unfortunately had that difficult conversation with a doctor and then gone on to try and hopefully have some treatment. So we do this to try and help as many Australians as we can to kind of get the support they need from research and from community organisations to be able to, you know, recover and go on with happy and healthy lives.
Yeah, beautiful. Now, what is the goal for the initiative, my friend?
So this year, we're hoping to raise over $3 million, which will mean that since the start of the event in 2014, we will have raised $20 million. So we've got a really ambitious target to raise more money through having more people involved.
All right. And how can people help?
We'd love to get some fundraising. We'd love to, if you know somebody getting involved. So you can go to the website at tourdecure.com.au. They're our great charity partner. They've got our events and other events and ways you can donate if you're able to.
Oh, fantastic. Look, a good cause, and thank you very much for sharing. Big shout out to Commonwealth Bank. It is a team effort, and thank you for your yarn, Nathan.
Thanks for your support, mate.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A deadly yarn there. Nathan Barker, his name is, Head of Community Investment, Commonwealth Bank, and talking about the Tour de Cure, and that's funding 145 cancer projects, which have achieved over 32 cancer breakthroughs, which is fantastic. Look, the ugly disease, cancer, and look, my beautiful mother with me in spirit, cancer took her life, and it's about supporting loved ones, and we need to do what we can do to support, and money's the tool. So do have a look at that, your mob. Check it out. Google it, Tour de Cure, and maybe you can donate, whether it be $5, $10, every cent counts. Have your saying, Jan Upstrong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Jingira bali na ji, abu me jana ji, abun mindi gai bagat bara na ji, bagat bara na ji. Jingira bali na ji, abu me jana ji, abun mindi gai bagat bara na ji.
Over 60,000 years we've been in this place. Elders have told stories of seeing the winds change. Now it's a new world of suffering and pain. It's a wonder that I'm here to rap about it today. Is my mindset straight to get ready for it mentally? Cause life was so hard in the 21st century. Pushed to the brink with tax and Centrelink. A forced lifestyle, I won't let them overthink. Don't let them overdrink, cause they know how we get wild. Reminiscing on how we used to do on the case side. Sometimes I sit and think about the old days. But I wouldn't have my fam, so now to me it was an old face. It's hard to see the light when you're low paid. I took a job as a father, now I'm shining like a gold chain. I lay tracks like a soul train. I'ma pave the way for the young and old and okay, mama. Yeah. I walk a mile on this fine line, projecting light inside a tune like an memories in a coal mine. Hold me down in these low times. Just trying to provide for my family, but these devils try to co-sign. You feel the levels of these dope rhymes. Receive the knowledge of this game through the pain. Watch your hope rise. Clear the air, smoke will subside. Ain't playing, it's necessary for canaries in a coal mine. My line is strong, my people stood proud. I found my footprints on ancestors' trade routes. They've given me the strength, so I see without a doubt how they always.
Yeah, canary in a coal mine, Dub Zone. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're going to catch up with someone on the line. Someone, good morning.
Good morning. I just had a little visual there with listening to Matty. But anyway, brother, it's Easter time, and of all the things they the invaders introduced to this country, one of the things they don't talk about is, because it's Easter, brother, they introduced sin. We didn't know what was going to come here.
So was that what they introduced? Sorry?
They introduced sin. We didn't know about sin.
Yeah, true that. True that. Very true.
There's a meme, Eskimo and a priest, and the Eskimo said, if I didn't know about God and sin, would I go to hell? And the priest said, no, not if you didn't know. And the Eskimo reckons, well, why did you tell me, brother? Why did you tell me? I hear you yarned with the first caller about how old we are, brother. Mm. And I think I yarned with you about painting up there, because I've done the voluntary work up there with Professor Faye Gale up in Kakadu. Mm. And they were painting the older than the pyramids there, brother.
Yes.
And, supposedly this Jesus, he died for our sins, brother.
Mm.
And the Christianity was introduced by white folks. No, white folks was in the Bible, brother. And if we're older than the pyramids, and the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, we wasn't having it offered to kangaroo and the emu, and you know, like they were doing bestiality and all the stuff over there.
Yeah.
And I think of that random verse, if three or more are gathered here, I'll be there. And what they are actually saying is collective consciousness. And that's what we always have. And our moral compass was always our collective consciousness, irregardless of all these stuff that we have happened to our brothers. That's my little say for Easter. But I also want to talk about my take on the yarn you had with somebody from Adelaide, and now the population is increasing there, down there, farther than, much further than I think what they could cope with.
Mm.
And of course, we have the people of colour, have the Eve gene there, brother, that we're better at, the women are better at childbearing. And they're taking kids, brother, I think, from the fucking, from the ward. I'm in one of them Gordon Ramsay mood, brother, sorry for swearing, but taking them off the mothers, you know, that just had children or were they very small. And I think that people want to look at the first initial conference of Chief Protector, and there's also a meme about Pauline Anson. She says, for the Muslim and swamp. She said, I use it for the Asians, and then I use it for the Muslim are being swamped by them. She plagiarized that from the initial conference when they said, the Chief Protector of the territory, anyway, Cook, his name, he said they were going to be swamped by Afghans, and black fellows didn't. They had a system in place where you just said, go, you know, having sex with anybody, unlike the white fellows. Didn't they? After the massacre, I looked like one of them being constant. They had an open season on black women.
Mm.
And if any black fellow said anything, they could say, well, this is what can happen to you. At that time, John Pilger on his documentary said, it was legal to kill a black fellow, but illegal to kill cattle. And, of course, you know, like, they were frightened of the territory being swamped by Afghans. Afghans people, but, of course, later on, they did forced to be removed, full blood too. So that's a bullshit. You know, that full blood didn't get forced to be removed. But anyway, that's the reason. It wasn't because the women didn't want to look after the kids, and they were frightened of just that. And they're still frightened of that when they take when I see that stuff happening, even you talk to brother about the stuff happening in Adelaide. And of course their bright idea was to bring out the baby bonus, and they thought the bloody white folks were going to have a lot of children, and that wasn't good enough. Black folks were having children, and then they started exploiting the renting the womb of Indian women of their brother. And I often hear you talk about, you know, you say children are having children. Mm. Well, you know, the legal age, we didn't have such a thing, you know, like that. Yeah. And there's the myth that only young girls were promised to old men, but young boys were promised to old women. To my granny, she got a hole in the septum of her nose when she was up. She was born in Daintree, brother. And I think about that, about the little girl, when she got that hole in the septum of her nose, because she promised. And even before, like, I'm born and bred in Palm Island, and I come up north here too, where my grand people come. Mm. And, you know, I have what they call straight head, and that's long before, you know? And it was always like that. And I don't know, if it was a natural way of birth control to keep them, you know, like there was less likelihood of, say, you know, like older people having children with younger people. Mm. I don't know if it was because of that. But, of course, brother, that's my take on Easter, and I think it's insulting to our people, because like we did, like it denies our humanity. We had conscience, brother. Mm. We had a humanity, and we knew what was right from wrong, you know, in Blackfella terms of reference. And that sort of denies us of our humanity, that we have to have Christian values to the only good values that are introduced by white folks. But brother, I will say, I will end there, brother, and I will say, capitalism and Christianity are first cousin, brother. Like the good cop, bad cop, brother, the Christianity, the religion, they soften up the black fellas. And of course, the capitalism is the exact opposite, like the good cop, bad cop. Thank you very much, my brother, for letting me have a say, brother.
Thank you, Selwyn. Thank you very much. Someone regular caller here on your daily program, have any say, you can do the same. 1-800-422-416 for Trinity Trev. Murray from Nakari, National Talk Black. Beautiful track there. Uncle Seaman Dan with us in spirit. Mango Rain here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Session Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BB and Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. All right, climate-hit communities vital to help Australia prepare for future disasters. People whose communities have been hit by floods, fires, heat and sea level rise met for the first time in Canberra in a new alliance calling for the government to put climate impact communities at the heart of decision-making that impacts them. Look, with that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Chelsea Annabar, a community leader in the Torres Straits and regarding this, this topic. And we do have Chelsea on the line. Chelsea, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sister?
Yeah, I'm good. Bala, how are you?
I'm very good, very good. Before we start, my sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Chelsea?
Yeah, well, hi to your listeners. Chelsea Aniba from Saiba Island, Muraboy. My clan is the Daibao clan, which is from the Kibuway, seven clans of Saiba Island.
Beautiful, beautiful footprint. Thank you, my sister. Look, a very important conversation. We're talking about climate hit communities, vital to help Australia prepare for future disasters. We've got to be front and centre. I mean, global climate is real, and they need to operate, the government needs to operate, in regarding protecting communities. So enlighten us, please, about your journey. Have you had your journey to Canberra?
Yeah, well, this is my second one.
Okay.
I've recently, I make my way back up to Saiba. I've just come back from Canberra yesterday. Mm. There's a lot of things happening around climate action, justice for climate survivors, if you can say. And I've only just come, recently come into this advocacy work because of the court case, Uncle... Pabai Pabai from Boigu Island and Uncle Paul Kabai from Saibai. They're taking the Commonwealth Government to court in terms of duty of care for not looking after us, not only on Saibai Island, but the Torres Strait, with looking at, you know, seawalls, because up in the Torres Strait, we've got high sea levels rising.
Yes.
And some of these islands like Saibai, which is a priority one, it's only 1 meter above sea level.
Do you feel as though the government are listening?
Sorry?
Do you feel that the government are listening? Do you feel they are listening?
I don't think so. They're listening because,
sure.
You know, they give money. The money's not enough.
Sure.
And, you know, if they were listening, let's just say, Bala, if they were listening, we wouldn't be traveling to Canberra advocating for...
Thank you.
For climate action. You know, we've got people from Torres Strait. I was recently down there meeting with, you know, climate change survivors. Like, not only us in the Torres Strait, you've got bushfire survivors. You've got flood survivors. You know, Cairns recently just went through a flood with the recent cyclone.
Jasper
that came through, you know. And people think that this is just, you know, weather, normal weather, wet season.
It's not.
But the wet season's changed now, the dry season's changed now, and it's because of what's happening with our environment, what's happening with the ozone layer, and what the we want the government to do is to reduce greenhouse gases emission.
Yep.
The scientists are saying that we need to be below 1.5 degrees. If we go over the 1.5, we're already going over that because we're experiencing hotter summers.
Yes.
We're experiencing heat waves. We're experiencing cyclones that are traveling not at their usual timing. You know, if you're out on country, you would notice that the birds are migrating at a different time and period now.
Yep.
Sea life is moving and we're hunting further away from the islands now. Migration of the food source in the rivers and in the salt waters and, you know, the animals on the land. Mm. That's all changing now because of what's happening to the environment and up in the sky. And even the salt water is getting hotter too.
So the money you are getting is not enough. It's only pittance. Money is the tool, and we're talking about seawalls. A lot of questions do have come to the table regarding seawalls. Have there been seawalls built in the Torres Straits at the different islands? And if so, how many? And if not, how many do we need?
Well, Saibai has gone through. I'm going to have to always talk to Saibai.
Okay, yep.
That's my country. Well,
sure.
And a bit of history about the region. But Saibai has gone through two man-made local uncles and grandfathers built because of the climate change.
Yes.
And then now they've got a proper one that's been built by the local government.
Okay.
Now, the money that the local government gave was to service six communities that are highly affected by climate change in the Torres Strait. Mm. That money wasn't enough.
Yes.
It was only enough for Saibai.
Got you.
And when you look at seawalls, our seawall on Saibai is a totally different model that you use on Saibai that you can't use in the central island.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, you know, the uniqueness of each homeland.
Of course.
Southwestern is different from Eastern. Eastern is different from Central Islands. So, therefore, the seawall becomes a different kind of material wall.
Mm, okay. And so, and that's big cost, isn't it? And it could be different costing for different islands.
Yeah, and different costing for different islands, different material.
Yes.
And on top of that, freight.
Freight, of course.
Freight.
The big
killer. That's another cost. That's another slap over that amount.
Mm.
You gotta look at the freight and the cost of transporting these materials onto the island.
Yeah, exactly. So it's still got a lot of work to be done there. We're talking about closing gaps. Well, here's another gap that we need. Blackfellas are screaming out for, close the gap in regarding global climate. It is real, and the government needs to act. Look, thank you for your yarn, my sister. Now, is there a group of you a part of this this fight for climate hit communities?
Yes, well, we're just grassroots people from community.
Yes,
are helping with Gradafan, who helps the court, the case, legal case with Uncle Paul and Uncle Pabai.
Mm.
But we've also got Torres Strait as well.
Yes,
that does advocacy work around climate action. And you know what, my brother, just sent a message out there. We need more people to be aware, more people to come to government and say, this is happening because, brother, I'm fighting because I'm thinking about my grandchildren.
Why? Exactly.
I'm thinking about,
future.
You know, the songs and the dances that we talk about, the environment. I want them to know these songs and to see them places, see where this song was sung about, what, you know, them places that our spiritual places, our sacred sites and stuff like that.
Okay, beautiful. Well, thank you for your yarn, my sister. Fight the good fight. Please do keep in touch. And prayers going out to your mob there. And we'll yarn soon, Chelsea.
Thank you very much. Well, take care.
Yawo.
Yawo.
Deadly yarn there. Chelsea Anaba, a community leader in the Torres Straits, and talking about the climate hit communities, vital to help Australia prepare for future disasters. And look, they visited Canberra in regard to the as a new alliance, calling for government to put climate impacted communities at the heart of decision making that impacts them. And yes, global climate is real. Look, with that, your mob, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, has got a sign up for today's program. I thank you very much for your company, your mob. A 1 hour program, and we come across to you live from the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BB and Bumbrabit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Big shout-out, NERS team. And look, a big shout-out to you all, your mob. Please do take care over the long weekend, Easter weekend. Love and respect each other. Travel safe, and let's have a good time. It is long weekend, and we'll catch up with family. But let's do it with safety, of course. Take care, your mob. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll yarn soon.
I started looking in the mirror, faced my own demons. Had every right to be mad, I had my own reasons. But to take it out on family was a bad feeling. I just wanna pay back my mob with what I was gifted. I just wanna be a good mummy, build my
my babies are home. Put a crown on my mama and I'll build her a throne. You can't talk about my past cause them days dead and gone. And if you go and bring it up, you must have hate in your soul. And that's real, I just wanna bring it back for a minute and thank my sister and my mama for my children. Cause I was trapped in addiction and in prison, but they gave me the tools so I could live a little different. Thank my matriarchy and thank my babies for me. I must be a good woman if I birth them seeds. And to be a better woman, I must follow my dreams and give back to everybody who done gave to me. It's a full circle, what goes around comes around. Yeah, I was lost at the start, but my soul got found. And I just wanna be here and make my whole family proud. Do everything in my power to make them all smile now.
Ha. The black is strong and powerful.
And I'ma do better, good karma, yes I'm receiving it. Made it all real cause I was sick and tired of dreaming it. And this life here's a gift, I'm gonna keep on succeeding it. I had to get it out the mud and make it better. Grab my babies by the hands and we gon' do this together. Got these tears in my eyes while I write them love letters. And I know I'm not perfect but I'm never gon' give up. I gotta plant them seeds and tell the truth how it is. I gotta stand up strong and be a mum to my kids. I gotta come back strong and go and face some fears. Cause I was sick and tired of hating on myself all them years.